All right, welcome back everyone to the Deep Dive. Sometimes a legal case comes along that just makes you stop and think. And today we're diving into one of those. Hood v. Ryobi America Corp.
Oh, this one's a doozy. DIY gone wrong, warnings ignored. It really gets to the heart of who's responsible when things go sideways with a product, especially when there are safety instructions involved.
Yeah, it really raises that question. If a product comes with all these warnings and someone just tosses them aside, what happens then? Who takes the legal hit if someone gets hurt?
Big questions. And we've got the sources to tackle them head on. We're looking at the Fourth Circuit's opinion, the legal briefs, the whole nine yards.
Exactly. And our mission today is to break down the legal nitty-gritty, product liability, the whole concept of misuse, and what makes a warning actually effective in the eyes of the law, all through the lens of this case. We'll see how these principles play out in the real world.
Yeah, and by the end, you'll walk away with a solid grasp on consumer rights and what manufacturers are on the hook for. It matters. This stuff impacts both sides of the equation.
For sure. So let's get into it. The product at the center of this whole thing is a Ryobi TS-254 miter saw. Pretty common tool, especially for anyone who works with wood, right,
Our
Greg?
standard equipment. Whether you're a pro or just a weekend warrior, you've probably seen one of these. They're all about making those precise cuts, especially at angles. But like any power tool, you got to respect it, follow the rules.
Absolutely. And to their credit, Ryobi did build in safety features. The saw came with blade guards, those shields to keep your hands away from the business end of things.
Yeah, critical stuff. And not just the guards, there were warnings too.
Right.
Right on the saw itself, big and bold, and then spelled out in the manual as well.
Right. One that really jumps out is never operate without guards. I mean, that seems pretty straightforward.
No kidding. And these warnings aren't just there for show. They're reflecting the very real risks of using this kind of machinery. I mean, blade guards are fundamental. They stop you from accidentally touching the blade, help contain any debris that flies off, and even in extreme cases, like we see here, prevent a detached blade from causing harm.
Okay, so now here's where things get interesting, or, well, I guess tragic is more accurate. So the plaintiff, Mr. Hood, he was working on a project trying to cut a piece of wood that was a bit thicker than usual. And even though he read the manual, this is important, he decided to take the blade guards off.
Yeah, thought he could get away with it, figured the guards were in the way for this particular cut. It's that mindset some people get into where they think, oh, I'll be careful, it's just for a minute. But this case is a stark reminder of why you don't mess with safety features.
And that's putting it mildly. So about 20 minutes into using the saw without the guards, the blade detaches. It ends up hitting Mr. Hood, injuring his thumb pretty badly, and he also gets a cut on his leg.
Ouch. Yeah, not good. And understandably, he goes after Ryobi. Files a lawsuit. His main arguments were twofold. One, failure to warn, basically saying, hey, Ryobi didn't warn me specifically that the blade could detach.
And the second argument was about the saw's design, claiming it was defective somehow. So the first round of this legal battle plays out in district court. The judge grants summary judgment to Ryobi. Now, for anyone who's not a legal eagle, summary judgment basically means the court looked at everything and said, there's no real dispute about the facts here. We can decide this based on the law alone.
Yep, no need for a jury to weigh in. And the district court ruled in favor of Ryobi.
But that wasn't the end of the story. Mr. Hood appealed, taking the case to the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals. And that's where things get really fascinating, legally speaking.
Totally. This is where we delve into the finer points of product liability. And guess what? The Fourth Circuit sided with Ryobi again, upholding the lower court's decision.
Let's break it down, starting with that failure to warn claim. Hood argued the warnings weren't good enough because they didn't say specifically, hey, the blade might detach if you use it without the guards. And you can see his point, right?
Yeah, but here's the thing. In Maryland, where this all went down, the law doesn't demand an exhaustive list of every possible thing that could go wrong. Instead, warnings just have to be reasonable under the circumstances. That's the key phrase.
Reasonable under the circumstances. So how did the court apply that standard to the warnings Ryobi did provide, like those labels on the saw, and that never operate without guards instruction?
Well, they looked at all that and concluded that, yep, those warnings were indeed clear, conspicuous, and unambiguous. The court basically said, look, a manufacturer can't be expected to create this giant encyclopedia of warnings.
Right. Otherwise, the manual would be bigger than the product itself. It would just overwhelm people.
Exactly. In fact, there's this whole idea in legal circles called overwarning. The thinking is that if you warn about every little thing, even minor stuff, the really important warnings get lost in the noise. People just tune them out.
Makes sense. So what we're learning here is manufacturers generally just need to warn you against the risky action itself, not every single possible outcome of that action. And in Hood's case, he was told point blank not to remove the guards.
Precisely. The court's logic was that warning against operating without the guards inherently covers the potential dangers that come with doing that, including, the possibility of the blade detaching. Ryobi didn't need to spell out every single way that ignoring the warning could lead to a mechanical failure.
Gotcha. Okay, let's move on to the design defect claim. Hood also argued that the saw itself was flawed from a design standpoint. How did the court deal with that?
So this is where things get even more nuanced. Maryland law and many other states follow similar principles, says that a design defect claim can be thrown out if the person who got hurt changed the product in a way that caused their injury. This is huge in product liability cases.
So in this case, the court saw Hood taking off those blade guards as a big no-no, right? Like he messed with the product in a major way.
Oh yeah, they called it a substantial alteration. And that's because it fundamentally changed how the saw was supposed to work. He took away a crucial safety feature that Ryobi specifically designed into the saw. Those guards were there for a reason, to prevent exactly what happened.
And the court drew a straight line from that action, removing the guards to the blade detaching and causing the injury.
100%. They established a direct link. It's all about proximate cause again. The court said, look, by misusing the saw this way, Hood basically broke the chain of responsibility. His actions were the direct cause, not some fault in the original design of the saw when it's used properly with the guards on.
Okay, so even if there was some other factor that contributed to the blade coming loose, the fact that he'd intentionally disabled a key safety feature was seen as the more immediate and legally relevant cause.
Right, and the court was pretty clear about this. They said manufacturers are not obligated to design products that are safe for every single conceivable way someone might misuse them. There has to be a limit. You can't expect a company to foresee and prevent every possible stupid thing someone might do with their product, especially when they've provided clear instructions on how to use it safely.
This also gets into the idea of a superseding cause, doesn't it? Like, Hood's choice to ignore the warnings was so significant, it basically overrides any other potential issue.
Exactly. The court saw his decision to remove the guards as the main cause of his injuries, the superseding cause. His actions overrode any potential claim that the saw was defective in its original design when used as intended.
Wow. Okay, so let's zoom out for a second. For our listeners, what are the big practical takeaways from this Hood v. Ryobi case? What should they keep in mind, especially in the context of product liability?
Well, first and foremost, this case shows just how important those warnings are and how effective they can be in protecting manufacturers. When a company gives clear, straightforward warnings about what not to do, like Ryobi did with that never operate without guards statement, it can really help them in court if someone gets hurt because they ignored those warnings.
Got it. So warnings aren't just legal mumbo jumbo. They actually have teeth.
They do. Second big takeaway is the misuse doctrine. This legal principle basically says that if you get hurt because you intentionally did something with a product that you were specifically warned against doing, well, you're probably going to have a tough time winning a lawsuit against the manufacturer.
Personal responsibility comes into play there.
Absolutely. And the third key takeaway, building on that, is that courts often side with the idea of personal responsibility, particularly when clear warnings are given. A manufacturer isn't automatically responsible for injuries that happen because someone chose to ignore clear safety instructions. The law tries to strike a balance. It expects companies to make safe products and communicate how to use them safely, but it also expects users to follow those instructions.
So it's a two-way street. Manufacturers have their part, and we as users have ours.
Exactly. This case really illustrates that balance.
So as our listeners are out there tackling their own projects, whether they're DIY pros or just starting out, they should really take those product warnings to heart.
Oh, absolutely. Hood v. Ryobi is a powerful reminder. Those warnings are there for a reason. Ignoring them isn't just a risk to your personal safety. It can have real legal consequences if something goes wrong. You might find yourself without any legal recourse if you get hurt doing something you were specifically told not to do.
It makes you think twice about just tossing those manuals aside. This case really highlights the importance of understanding those safety guidelines and following them.
Yep, knowledge is power. And in this case, it could also be the difference between a successful project and a trip to the ER, or worse, with no legal ground to stand on.
Great insights. Well, that about wraps it up for our deep dives into Hood v. Ryobi. Always a lot to unpack with these product liability cases, but hopefully our listeners are walking away with a better understanding of how the law views warnings, misuse, and that critical balance between manufacturer responsibility and user accountability. Thanks for joining us, everyone.
Always a pleasure. Until next time.